Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Hey listeners, support for The Instance today comes from Kind, makers of healthy and delicious snacks. To try 10 Kind bars for free, you just pay shipping. Go to kindsnacks.com/instance. That's kindsnacks.com/instance for full details. And by Doghouse Systems at doghousesystems.com. They've still got this code, FROGPANTS, that you can use to get various discounts. Sometimes it's extra RAM, sometimes it's a hard drive, sometimes it's just a good deal. Either way, your next computer gaming rig should come from Doghouse Systems at doghousesystems.com. It's where mine came from, and yours could too. That's doghousesystems.com and the discount code FROGPANTS.
You're listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 497. I'm Scott Johnson with Patrick Beja from... Are you back in France? Are you still in Finland?
I'm in Finland at the moment.
All right.
Yeah, enjoying the craptastic summer.
Yeah. It's cold, right?
I'm getting used to
it. Is it bad?
It's kind of cold. It's kind of rainy. Sometimes it's sunny. And I know that I've become somewhat Finnish because whenever there's a couple of rays of sun, I go out and go like a sunflower. You know, I look at the sun and my head turns as it does, trying to soak in every single little bit of sunlight.
You open up and aim yourself at the... This all sounds bad.
I don't think we can say this on a family podcast, Scott, but I believe
he fully exposes himself
to the rays.
Let's imply.
Yeah, exposes himself to the rays, exactly. Ray is
need to
not
get
happy.
As much vitamin D in him as possible.
Yeah.
Exactly. So he bends over, parts his cheeks.
Yeah, that's
and,
right.
For the long night
that follows, because in a couple of months, we're going to get back on the slope to the eternal darkness that is Finland in winter.
That's true.
I thought you were talking about then this season of Game of Thrones is over. We've got to wait a whole year till the next one. I was like, yeah, I know. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Patrick, I give it 2 years before you look in the mirror and you can see your heart beating. And that's how finished you'll be at that point because you guys are all transparent there. Terpster also here, of course, and fresh off a trip to Irvine, California. How did it go? I know you probably saw a lot of things you can't tell us about, but did you see anything you can tell us about?
So many things. I saw lots of things. Obviously, at the same time, in the same breath, I saw nothing. And I'd like to confirm I know nothing.
Okay.
So I was out there to do some stuff with Blizzard I'm pretty sure I can say, but I probably can't. So
let's not.
Yeah. I don't want to get you in trouble.
So there's some stuff that's coming out from Blizzard soon.
Yeah.
That isn't anything too exciting, so don't get too excited. But be excited, but manage your expectations in that. If you remember, last year I did some videos with Blizzard at Gamescom. Gamescom's coming up again, and maybe, per chance, I'm doing videos again with Blizzard at Gamescom.
What you're saying is that the exciting thing that's coming out of Blizzard is a funny video that you shot at Irvine. Excellent. Thank you for
that.
I think so. But the thing is, equally... it might not be that funny. So don't judge me. It gets signed off. It's a Blizzard thing.
Yeah.
And I always say to them, like, you know, are you sure? Because, you know, if it's me, like, you could just get someone who's, like, good at presenting and very attractive. Or you can get me and I'll do something a bit silly and funny. And they're like, yeah, we want silly and funny.
Yeah.
And then there's always that risk of, like, you know, obviously where the line is.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I can say things that, not necessarily a Fortune 500 company can say. And that's the weird thing. But my Lord, what a lovely, lovely place and lovely people.
Yeah.
There wasn't a single asshole amongst them. I'm sure they all possess them. My Lord, some of the nicest people. And I was blown away by that. Lots of hard work going on.
Yeah.
I was. Yeah. So firstly, they got a Starbucks on campus.
Yeah.
That's amazing to have your own Starbucks, and it's a full on Starbucks.
Like, is that the one where they misspelled Jeff Kaplan's name? Is that the Jeff Kaplan's name got misspelled there? Yeah. Is that the one? Okay.
I don't know how far Jeff commutes. Maybe. I would say likely. But hopefully as like a joke, but I don't know. But yeah, full on Starbucks. It's not like a hotel, you know, when they're like, yeah, we serve Starbucks coffee that's instant that we've put in a thing that we've never cleaned. And here you go.
Yeah.
It was lovely stuff. So there's the road that's been renamed. And this is, I don't know if this has been talked about on the show before. I feel this is super exclusive info.
All right.
Blizzard's office, the road now is called Blizzard Way.
Whoa.
Wait, like the actual city of Irvine renamed?
Not the city.
Wow. Which, by the way, people might not know, but I've heard that Irvine is a private town or township or something. Like, it's actually a private
company.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do all the schools and all of that stuff. And I guess, again, I mean, how much more American can you get than a company owns the town?
Yeah.
I'm like, yes. Yes. So yeah, there's loads more buildings than just the HQ building. And that's always been the case in terms of like QA and all of that have been kind of offsite.
Well, I think when I first joined, so back in 2009 or my first visit, for a long time, it was, I think, three buildings, something like that. So the main one and then a couple of wings on the side, but on the same site.
Yeah.
And my understanding is that now they have like buildings on the other side of the road, and like they're becoming a part of the town.
Further afield, exactly. Yeah, I think that's the thing. It's always that funny thing. And it, like, so, you know, if you travel along Blizzard Way, take a left. No, it's all on Blizzard Way, sadly. But it's that weird thing of like when you see the orc statue up close, and it's that it doesn't feel that big. Like, it's the sort of thing you always imagine it to be much bigger than it is. And it's big. Like, it's much bigger than I am. So it's not like me saying, hey, Tony Orc.
So it's supposed to be life size, quote unquote, right? Like, the orc is roughly the size that the orc would be?
It probably is. However, because now Blizzard is so much bigger in terms of the campus, I kind of feel like it should be several stories high. You know, like each time they get, you know, like, oh, we've grown, we've got more devs, we're doing more stuff, the orcs should get bigger. And maybe not even proportionally, maybe just like they put a huge arm on him.
Yeah.
And they're like, that's Overwatch done really well, so now the orc's got a huge arm.
Nice.
You know, and then it's like, okay, well, now let's do this next thing. So my phone's making less noise.
You know, well, the US of A has the Statue of Liberty. Yeah. I feel like the orc could be the symbol of all things Blizzard. Yeah. And there's, you know, the motto, the company values around the orc, which are very heavy with significance. Maybe what it means is that the French need to make it and giant and give it to Blizzard.
Get on that.
Would be good. I think, you know, again, so you've got a project now, Patrick, and you're not in France, but you are French. And that'll do. But yeah, lovely, lovely place. Gorgeous, gorgeous HQ, lovely people. I got to, you know, basically, if you have a camera with you and you kind of look like you're meant to be there, no one asks any questions. So I was, you know, I could like walk up, like they had the garage, you know, the big angry garage in the reception area.
Yeah.
There's a velvet rope that I just walked past, just like, well, I'm on camera, so I should probably be on this side of the rope. And so I got to get really close to garage and stuff, and he looked fantastic.
Yeah. So, like, so yesterday, or was it yesterday? I think it was yesterday. They had the Activision Blizzard earnings call. And on that, all kinds of crazy hints dropped by Mike Morheim, co-founder of the company, who basically didn't get any big specifics, but talked about how some of their best designers are on brand new projects that haven't been announced, and gave a zero timeline for any of this, but it seemed to all be tied to the Adham thing and all of that. Did you see?
So I think I can say this, in that, in my time there, which was only a short few days, But I never once saw Mike Morhaime or Frank Pierce. But I saw Alan Hadheim about a million times everywhere. Like, that man is everywhere. So, I mean, I'm sure he doesn't need the 360 feedback, but I'm going to say definitely looks busy. I'm going to guess he is busy. He's working hard.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really cool. But because I am security clearance level zero, I don't know anything about any new projects or anything cool or secret like that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But wow, I mean, you know, I fell in love with the place just in terms of just being a lovely place to work.
Did you come away with the impression that, I mean, you can feel the expansion though, right? Like, you can feel the fact that they've got multiple teams, even with the public games now. We've got Overwatch, we've got Heroes, and we've got Hearthstone and everything else. You can feel that expansion. Do you feel like they're ever going to be in a position where they're going to have to move, change, build, go somewhere else? I know they don't
I think the thing is obviously they love where they are, and it must be good because, like, Bonfire from Rob Pardo and all of Tencent's money, they've set up shop in Irvine as well. I think Irvine legitimately is a lovely place to be. I don't know for me how well I would get on there, because it doesn't also seem like there's a lot to do necessarily just in Irvine proper.
Yeah.
But obviously in Southern California, there's a lot of cool places you can go and things to do. I think it's that lovely balance, a bit like, where I'm in the UK, Bristol isn't London. It's a slightly slower pace of life, but it still is connected and it's still got things there. So you don't feel as removed or remote, but it's cheaper than London and not as busy as London. So I guess kind of Irvine to LA and things like that, you could have a similar sort of comparison maybe.
Yeah.
Though Irvine is still ridiculously expensive. I don't think they'd ever retire that campus.
Everyone lives there. I mean, that's the main problem. You're not going to have...
Yeah.
I could see them trying to acquire... Like, so there's across the road, there's a load of other buildings, but there's other companies that work in that space as well in other buildings. I could see...
They can buy everything.
Well, exactly.
They have, more money than God.
With a load of money I would potentially be looking at, could I buy those things? And more so because there is one of the greatest sandwich shops in the world amongst these buildings. So I went there for lunch one day and had one of the most beautiful burgers I've ever had. And it was so casual in that I kind of felt like as I was eating this epiphany, life-changing burger, that guy who cooked it, that's just one of, 200 burgers he was cooking that hour sort of thing. That was nothing to him.
Yeah.
To the people around me consuming those burgers that were there, they get it every day on lunch. They're like, it's solid sandwich, good sandwich joint. For me, I mean, again, I don't want to say, it was an amazing trip and I saw some incredible things. I was very excited to be there for the rest, but holy moly, that burger was definitely top five, maybe top three, maybe, I don't know. It was an insanely good burger. So I would say if they had a position to buy the rest of those buildings there, it would be on the proviso that burger company stays.
Yeah.
So the thing is, beyond the burger story, which is, I'm sure, a great motivator for people to not move, the thing is Blizzard, as a company, wants to keep their developers all in one place. And that's also a big motivator for them to expand in that Irvine campus. If you look at other developers, other companies, they have studios all over the world often. It seems Ubisoft has literally a developer, like a Ubisoft studio in almost every country. Right?
They'll be there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But Blizzard, they have campuses everywhere. They have one in Austin, which is mainly CS, maybe some QA, I don't know. Obviously, they have the one in Paris, in Versailles. They have offices in Asia. They have some everywhere.
One in The Hague. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be one in The Hague.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but they're opening loads.
They don't have developers.
Only in Irvine.
Yeah.
The developers are only in Irvine, and now they have, six teams that we know, and I'm guessing at least two or three others that are working on those secret projects. That's a lot of different, developers in the same thing. So they need lots of buildings, but I don't think they're ever
going to. In terms of their growth, do you think there comes a point where whilst you're in the same kind of vicinity, you're so big, it wouldn't really be any different if you were in another city? Like in terms of...
I think it's about... I mean, this is speculation, but I think it's about control. They want to make sure that the big decision... As you know, I often talk about, Blizzard is a company that care where the guys in charge of the products make the decisions for the company, right? You have a lot of companies where, you know, you get input from the guys in charge of the product and input from, but in the end, the marketing guys are the ones that make the final decisions.
Right.
At Blizzard, it's the developers that make the final decisions with, of course, input from everyone. And they know about all of the different aspects of the business, but still it's the product creative guys that make the decisions. Right. And I think they want to keep those, like, in order to maintain that incredible company culture, they want to keep those physically in proximity. So
do you think there was ever a problem with Blizzard North? Do you think had a negative experience from that?
I was going to suggest that. I was actually just going to bring that up. I think the Blizzard North thing was an experiment that I won't say they regretted, but it didn't work out the way they wanted it to, and that's why they severed it.
It resulted in one of the greatest games of all time.
Completely agree.
So, like, I think, you know, in terms of the output, I don't think you can fault it, but I don't know. At the same time, like, while I was there, I was in the little museum thing they have in the lobby. And I was watching the kind of the Overwatch and the history of Overwatch from what do they call it? They had like a project name. It's like Prometheus or something like that. Titan. That was it. Yeah. No. Titan was no. That when they started Overwatch, I think it's called Prometheus.
Oh right. After Titan.
Overwatch. Oh, you mean after Titan?
Exactly. Yeah. And so they had all this stuff there, and there was this brilliant thing where they had like an executive play test. So you had kind of like Jeff Kaplan and a few others kind of nervously while you had like Frank Pierce and Mike Morhaime and Paul Sams at the time and all these other kind of execs playing the game. And, you know, they're like, hey, you know, they're having a good time. And, you know, like, hey, this one with the rockets is great. You know, and like, you know, you can see like them being able to dip in on that. I think they filmed it. So I don't know if it was, you know, fake and it wasn't the actual first play test or whatever it was. But I can see why having things on the doorstep and just being able to drop in and just be like, well, can I see it? Can we just sit down and play it? Can we see what this is like? What's that like? I can see how that would be super valuable to the higher ups. Mm-hmm. But I think you could package Blizzard and put it in other places and it would still feel like Blizzard. But I don't think the execs and people like that would be obviously in the same vicinity to just drop in and play the games.
Right.
So I think ultimately that's what it comes down to. But yeah, holy moly, lovely place, lovely experience. We'll see, you know, I don't know what we'll see of what I shot there because I never know quite what they will like from me. And if not, but it's fully their thing.
Sure.
It was lovely to do some stuff with them. And if you don't see me at Gamescom, then
you'll know things went horribly wrong.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, not even horribly wrong. Just they went a different direction.
Sure.
So we will see.
That's very
PR.
I
at least had a fantastic time.
Yeah. So, Gamescom is what? 2 weeks? When have we got that?
Yeah, 2 weeks away. Yeah. 23rd to 26th.
Yeah. All right. Well, traditionally, the last few years, Blizzard has used it as a platform for some cool stuff. So I have high expectations for what we might see at Gamescom. And hopefully one of those things is you, if you've made it through the PR cheesecloth.
Exactly. I imagine, like I said, it will be, it would be great to do it again.
Yeah.
So we will see. All right. Fingers crossed.
Well, time will tell. Let me tell you what else might be told to you by time. Well, not really, but... I want you, dear Instance listeners, to give something a try. Have you ever tried Kind Bars? You may have seen them at a local grocery store, a coffee shop, or the gym. That's where I see them, is my gym. They make delicious, healthy snacks using whole ingredients that you can recognize and pronounce. Those are nice factors. Anyway, if you're ready to try some tasty and healthy snacks, they've got a special deal for you. You can try 10 Kind Bars for free. All you have to do is pay shipping. And when you order the sample box, you also get to try Kind's Snack Club, where you receive monthly snacks at a discount and get members-only bonuses. That seems like a pretty good deal. Shouldn't have to choose between your health and taste when it comes to snacking. That's why both award-winning chefs and nutritionists love and recommend Kind Bars. I tried the 10 snack sample box, and I loved it. Personally, love the dark chocolate, nuts, and sea salt variety. And I don't even like dark chocolate normally, but for whatever reason, that totally worked for me. Anyway, to pick up your free sample box, just like I did, go to kindsnacks.com/instance. That's kindsnacks.com/instance. Kind is spelled K-I-N-D, by the way. And we thank them for sponsoring the show. It's really good stuff. You guys should check it out. So there's a dev stream. Ian Hazzikostas out there with lore, talking like they do. Big 7.3 information. At least I felt like it was. It's been a bit of a drought between the last big update and PTR patch and stuff. There just hasn't been a lot of talk about sort of what's going on. But I don't know. I thought there was some interesting stuff in here. So they said, and I agree with this, 7.2, while pretty good content patch, didn't make it very clear what you were supposed to do after the intro. I felt that way. Now, part of the problem is I had approached it after a bit of a respite. I hadn't played in a while. And so I was like, all right, I'm back in. Let's do this. Let's do this. 7.2, what do you got for me? And they kind of kicked things off, and we saw a cool video and some rad animation. And then I was like, all right, now what? I was still sort of sitting there in Orgrimmar, not sure where to go and what to do. They said they learned from that this experience in 7.3 would be a lot different than that, although he didn't get into too much detail there, but one would expect that to improve. So here's what we know. Argus will have 5 chapters and 3 subzones and a ton of stuff available right away. That's a lot of content in a patch. I can't actually point to a point in Warcraft's history, World of Warcraft's history, where this much quote-unquote real estate was available in a patch right away.
When we look at like Timeless Isle, Isle of Thunder, you know, all of those things, they're a zone.
Yeah.
And here we've got three subzones or three, you know, areas and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That is pretty cool.
That seems pretty significant cool to me. That seems like a lot, and I'm glad that that's happening. I don't know. It just feels like, you know, their promise at the beginning of this expansion was way better back-end patch support, learning the lessons that happen in Draenor, you know, giving people more over the long haul and not just all at once up top and then having it peter out. They seem like that they're following through on that, and that's good. Ian says you'll be able to play through the first 2 chapters on day 1 and unlock world quests and other world content that day.
Account-wide, though, which is the cool thing about this.
Yeah.
So most of this unlocks account-wide. And so for anyone who's had to do Suramar more than once, will, you know, agree that you don't want to have to do Suramar more than once, sort of thing. You know, they've made it easier and stuff like that, but there's a lot of things that, you know, like with Flight, you unlock it and then you've unlocked it across your account. Amazing. Right. Sweet. And they're carrying that through. So for alts, which Legion has been the least alt-friendly expansion, it's got a lot easier now, but certainly in the past it was super tricky. So I'm glad to see them making these changes.
Yeah, no, launch of Legion, it was terrible. Like running with alts was awful because you kind of had this feeling of, well, no, wait a minute. I used to be able to work on all 3 of my specs all the time and gear those specs out and then do that with my alts and stuff. And then it was like, no, wait a minute. If I'm spending all this time on this one, on all this artifact powers going to my one guy. Well,
and
then
it may have been intentional, though, as well, because I think with Warlords, we were pushed to alt so much because the garrison was so powerful to be able to easily repeat that kind of short, powerful bit of content where you've got a load of minerals and resources out of the garrison X number of times and quickly send off a load of followers everywhere and felt like, oh yeah, this is, I'm almost playing the game as best I can by having lots of alts. I think that potentially that burnt people out to where a more main character focused expansion made sense.
Right. Also, let's see, week 2, we unlock chapter 3 and 4, which includes the Macquarie invasion points, or the Macquarie, whatever the hell that is. What is the Macquarie? Sounds like something to eat. Does anyone know?
I think it is. Yeah, it's mac and cheese.
Great.
So, but it's fel infused. Ugh.
Green mac and cheese.
It's a city, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right.
It's the most sacred of all cities.
Yeah.
Or was. But it's named after Jesse McCree, who
sure.
also McCree's named after in Overwatch.
Yeah,
he's a level designer.
Yeah, all their doorbells, so, yeah. all their doorbells go. It's about no, it says it's high noon. I almost didn't take it.
High noon, but yes. Yeah, so yeah, Jesse McCree though is a lead level designer on WoW.
Yeah.
And yeah.
That's good.
McCree is based on him, I think.
Very nice. Invasion points and new world quests will happen on week 2. And in week 3, you get the final chapter, the dungeon, and the Netherlight Crucible, which we can talk about in a second if we want. There's a lot to do in Argus, says the team, and they want to be clear that you should be focused... clear what you should be focused on rather than having many things competing for your attention right away. So a little more... I don't know if that means it's going to be linear, but they're going to, you know... They're going to handhold you into what you need to be doing. Now, I think this is good for players who maybe took a little bit of a break. Like, I know, Patrick, you're a little on the WoW break at the moment. Terpster's all back in, full blown. I'm kind of on the fence. I really want some catch-up stuff because there's a chunk of time where I just got burned out on the process. And I didn't like grinding it. And I don't...
7-3 is for you, brother, because holy moly.
Yeah.
If you jump back in now, getting up to level 40 artifact knowledge isn't too tricky. It does take some time, though. Once you log in after 7-3, everyone who's over 110 will get artifact level 41.
Yeah.
And every single week thereafter, it will go up until it caps to 50. And so if you log in 10 weeks in, you'll just be at level 50. And that means that any artifact power you get will be, I think it's like 55,000,000% more. So to catch up will literally be like 2 world quests, and then you've got enough artifact power to max out your artifact, even if you haven't played ever, assuming you're 110.
Yeah.
And it's so the power jump you get from a new character from 109 to 110 is just... insane.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
But aren't we back to that? We're back to that thing. I mean, I don't know how much airtime I want to give this, but we're back to that thing where a whole bunch of people spent months and months and months getting where they're at, and now we're going to be able to just sort of saunter in, log in, and hit 40.
Well, I mean, this is the thing. Well, I think you could even argue within 7-3. So if you log in day 1, you're at 41 artifact knowledge.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's like 4,000,000. I think it's like 5,000,000 or whatever like that. At the end of that 10-week process, you're like 11 times or 13 times more effective for every quest you complete. But do you want to not play the game for 2.5 months? You know, I think the idea with any of these things is the game in and of itself is fun. The achievements of kind of grinding up your weapon aren't that fun. They're a result of having played the game. But I don't want it to be where, like, if I take a 2-week break because the game's so hardcore, I'll never be able to catch up.
Yeah.
And I'll always be behind. You know, it's nice to be able to be like, you know what? Cool. You know, enjoy the game, play it how you want. And then when you come back, you'll be able to, you know, join your friends still.
Which is clearly why they're doing that. I mean, obviously, that's why these things exist. And it's probably, it's smart for the health of the game. It's smart for players who have missed time. And in some cases, it's like, well, a guy had to travel for his job and hasn't been able to play for 2 months. Or somebody had a new baby and couldn't, you know, focus on the game at all. It's really nice for them to be able to come back to it and not be 3 months behind all their friends. So,
and to an extent, the issue, not quite, you know, it's not the same within one patch as Terpster described, but the issue that you're describing is, should we bother with the, you know, the power that people have acquired after months and months of play or weeks and weeks of play and just nullify this? And this has always been the issue with item level, right? When a new patch comes out, there are catch-up mechanics that allow you to get powerful gear that is almost as powerful as the top gear from the previous raid encounters easily. And that's okay. I think everyone accepts it. It's presented a slightly different manner with artifact power. There's also the item level, which is treated in the same way. But ultimately, it's the same issue that is being resolved there. So I don't see it as a problem.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think it's fine. I just know there's some people grumping about it, and they always are. And I don't, you know, I don't like to make that
remember,
the news,
but... you know, on the internet, just as in WoW, just as in everything, there are always going to be some people that are unhappy about something, mm-hmm. right?
And there that's always true, has whatever. To be a Lich King as
yeah.
well.
Yeah. That also, those true always have those two statements are the only ones that are absolutely correct and factual, no matter what.
I think it was George Washington who said it best when mm-hmm. he said, "There are two things that are certain in life: the Lich King and assholes." So there you go.
But yeah. that's the thing, you know. It's not about assholes, really. I mean, the Lich King, everyone is agreeing on. You know, we'll always be agreeing that there should always be a Lich King.
Sure.
Assholes, you're kind of diminishing, not diminishing, but misrepresenting the issue. Everyone, there's always someone that's disagreeing with a statement, no matter what that statement is. And I'm sure sometimes that person is you, Turf Sir, or you, Scott.
Well, I think
you're
an asshole. I think
maybe.
You're wrong. It's never me. I've never disagreed with a thing in my life.
Ever. No.
Never.
So, but can we all agree that the Lich King should always be an asshole? That's a fair thing to always hope for.
Well, I think so. And then, you know, you meet the marketing team behind Hearthstone, and they're making him serve soft scoop ice cream. Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know.
Can I make a quick comment about that? So back in like 2010, before you guys were on the show, here on The Instance, Randy and I had coined the phrase ice cream citadel whenever referring to Ice Crown. And now that they've just full on just taken that, like they just lifted
you
it.
I think you're the only person who made that connection, though. Because, I mean, that's the thing. Maybe you were. Maybe at the same time, thousands of others had. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think what Scott is saying is that they got inspiration from the show. I think he's saying that, you know, it's emotional for him to have.
Something that's close to him talk about abused this. In that way.
Yeah.
As it's like being served a frozen cone and being like, oh, okay. Yeah. Thank you, Jailer of the Damned. I remember back to, you know, like, you know, just Tyrion Fordring holding that helm, and it's like, no, Tyrion, I'm gonna do it. And Bolvar, you know, Bolvar's like, no, only I can serve the ice cream. You know, it's just I don't know.
I don't want Bolvar doing it.
Respected a video for Hearthstone where he talks through the new adventure that's coming out alongside the expansion.
Yeah.
And he says about, you know, when we wrote him funny, it was like, this is just a clown wearing a helmet. You know, this isn't the Lich King, you know, but we found out that we could make him kind of nemesing, but he kind of broke the fourth wall. And that kind of made it Hearthstone enough while still being the Lich King.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, he insults the player's deck and things like that while still being the Lich King. And it's cool. It's good.
Yeah. They do a pretty good job of that.
Like, you know, taking a whiz at the time.
Yeah.
And then came back in and is like, right, let's have Arthas apply to work at Blizzard. It's kind of like an office space thing. We'll get Ben Bro to be like, oh, well met. And then, you know, it'd be good. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, sounds like a plan.
Like, I don't know. I get frustrated as a fan when I see things like that. And I don't think those things are driven by internally. I hope that they're external agencies that work with, and I'm sure the team still sign off on everything anyway.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit like I hate, you know, Mulligans, you know, those that terrible series of Hearthstone kind of office, you know, guy, you know, he's at a photocopier. Uther just appears terribly. And it's a horrible thing, I think, from a gamer's perspective to be like, well, what the heck is this?
Yeah.
So as I was saying 2 minutes ago, there are always people who are assholes and just like something that people have put a lot of work into.
And like I said, I think that there's some things that, I mean, you look at when something comes out of that team, like Ben Brode, he did a rap about Arthas.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, it was really good. It's really good.
Passionate, speaks to the core, to the gamers, to the, you know, he's got some flow, he's not bad.
Lays
it down. And then the remixes that other fans have done off the back of that. They've taken that track and then they played with it as well. That's amazing. Yeah. And that's exactly what Blizzard should do. And I get that that's the bit that's for me. And the bits that I don't like, they ain't for me. They're for, you know, the stay-at-home mums that love playing Hearthstone. Right. And they have just as much right to enjoy the game and its marketing materials as I do.
Sure.
So I get it. But obviously, from my selfish perspective, I want to see more Ben Brode rapping. I'm like, Ben, calm down on the game directing. Do some more rapping, because holy shit, that's amazing.
Well, this new the new rap is a little more produced, too. Chat room, I'm going to show you just a taste of this here. Get a little... Oh, whoops, no. So we got Arthas in a backwards hat. All right.
Well, Mitch. My name is Ben Brode. I got a story to tell. Are you ready? Then come on and listen well. Many years ago, there lived a paladin. He was Prince of...
I mean, they actually edit this thing, which is kind of nice.
Well, the thing is, but equally, it's still shot in Ben Brode's stairwell. Yeah. You know, that iconic Blizzard. Yeah, it's a small independent developer.
Yeah.
And it feels like, even then, like it's edited, but it's not super produced.
Yeah.
Like, you know, obviously there's been other people who've worked on it, maybe, but it doesn't feel like Blizzard's made it. It's on Ben Brode's individual personal YouTube channel. It's not on the Hearthstone YouTube channel.
Yeah.
You know, it's very much presented as a sort of like, hey, I love this so much that I just wanted to share this.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love everything about that. Yeah. And I worry, like, the worst thing Blizzard could do would be to get involved too much or explicitly. Maybe they are heavily involved, but they hide it well. It comes across so authentic. And so, like I said, if you go and find some of the fan remixes, there's an incredible... Just go, if you go to Dave Cossack's Twitter feed, he finds all the best ones and retweets them. And there's just some incredible ones there.
I'm going to follow those. Yeah. That's great. I keep forgetting I keep forgetting Dave's on that team now.
Exactly. Well, and he's lead mission designer, I think, now. So he's in charge of these narrative game experiences. And that's amazing.
Yeah. Not only that, but a lot more people are going to see those because they're no longer paywalled. They're no longer a thing you have to buy. You just play them.
Each time a new expansion comes out, and what's more, when you play one, you're going to get a hero card, so you get to have one of the Death Knights.
Yeah.
So that'd be really cool.
Yeah, I'm
equally, because of the new pity mechanic, you know, where you're guaranteed to get a legendary in your first 10 packs.
Yeah.
If you want to get if you want to get a non-Death Knight card, you should probably play the adventure first, because then you've got less chance, albeit one less, of getting a Death Knight, because you can't get dupes either.
Oh.
So, it would be an interesting way of seeing how people want to play the thing.
Some very nice refinements coming to that expansion. I like it.
Anyway, sorry, it's a weird segue. Sorry.
It's fine. So let's talk about catch-up stuff a little bit more. We mentioned it a little bit, but in patch 7.3, as soon as you hit level 110 on your character, all your relic slots are unlocked right away. So that is just, you hit 110, boom. And that's... If you already have a 110, you're already done if you left for a while.
Well, no, because currently the thing is you need to complete your class storyline, your campaign order hall storyline. And so, for example, I've got a 110 warrior where I need to go and run some, you know, heroic dungeon that I just couldn't be bothered to. And he's stuck there with just two relic slots.
Yeah.
Doesn't get the third one till he finishes that bit. Mm-hmm. So come the patch, boom, all of them unlocked.
Got them all. I'm super stoked about this because I think I've got a mage in the same boat where I just don't care about that slot as much as, or I care more about not doing the dungeon it wants me to do than I do getting the slot. So, this is good. Again, it's a catch-up mechanic. Some people are going to hem and haw, but whatever. You no longer have to do Broken Shore questline to allow your artifact to go beyond 34 points. And as you mentioned earlier, when you hit 110, you have level 40 or 41?
41.
Okay. Artifact knowledge, and that will increase weekly up to 50, like you mentioned. And there will also be catch-up tokens from missions and chests that help you quickly increase the item level of your followers. So if you are still sending your followers out for business, and you should be, you'll be able to quickly ramp those guys up as well. They did say they are done with artifact appearances. No more weapon skins. They're done making those. 7.3 does not contain any of those. If you're bummed about that, I don't know what to tell you, but you've got plenty now to unlock if you haven't. And if you've already got them all, well, then you got them all. So good job. The fact that they're not going to do any more of those, leads me to wonder what happens at the end of this expansion or at the very beginning of the next with our artifact weapons. And we've talked about it on the show before.
Oh, that's the big question.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm curious if anyone's got any new theories, either based on this information or just mulling around your head. Patrick, do you think at the end of all this, are we going to have to throw those away and start over? Are we going to carry them on? What are we going to do?
Honestly, this doesn't mean anything. It could go either way. Either they're not doing more artifact appearances because they're thinking we're not going to use them anymore, so let's not put too much work into them. Or they're thinking let's keep the appearances we're working on, which are awesome, for the next expansion because we want to keep using the artifact. So we don't really know. That being said, they're pushing the artifact customization so much that if we keep using them and if they don't, you know, need to be used to destroy whatever Argus we're going to be fighting or something like that, they are probably going to do a reset of all of this because I don't think you can keep them and keep that level of customization forever and add to it, or it would be clunky if they kept them in the next expansion.
Right. So one thing they are doing, and I don't know if they covered this in this, but I've seen it on Wowhead, is they're developing Argus inspired weapons for transmog. So whilst there's not alternate artifact appearances, there will be new cosmetic rewards that you can get. So if you're like, oh, I feel a bit, you can transmog your artifact into, you know, a crystal mace or a crystal sword or anything that feels particularly Draenei / Eredar in its sort of look. So I think potentially as well, they're just the art team's making those rather than making artifact appearances. And that's cool because it's broader. You know, more people can benefit from a sword. It doesn't have to be, you know, Ashbringer or Blaze of the Frozen Prince or whatever. You know, it can be something that it's its own that multiple people can use. So I think that there's stuff to be said there. I would love to know what's happening with artifacts and
Well, they've never gone on record and said one way or the other, right? Like they've always just sort of distanced themselves from it.
I thought they had though. I thought at the beginning they said like, you know, artifacts will be for this expansion and won't carry on through. Or was that Class Halls? They definitely said that, you know, that's it. I was fairly sure they said it with artifacts and like that their power would be depleted.
I don't remember either, but it does ring a bell. Or maybe, I mean, obviously they have the option to switch up their thinking depending
on exactly how regardless of what they said in the past, you know Dance Studio, you know, it just depend on, you know, what
they will never
happens.
Live that down.
No,
they shouldn't have told us because it was so cool. Everyone
always forgets about aerial battles though. That was like the thing that was alongside. It was right there. It was right
was
there
the
with it. It was on the
exactly.
box. You're right.
Yeah, exactly. That was on the box.
I was annoyed by that.
But yeah, I don't know. I think that I love my artifacts and I love what it's done to the game. And it gives me that carrot on a stick of grinding up, you know, more levels to get my Legion Fall Concordance, whatever it's called, up another rank. But I don't know, you know, it's just a nice thing to have and you always feel like you can make some progress on something. But it's just another bar to fill up, I guess, ultimately.
Part of
it, you could
the chat room is saying that you're right, which is painful, but that they did say they didn't want to carry the artifacts to the next expansion.
They did say that, but I'm going to hold that they can change their mind.
Already we're looking at, you know, with artifact knowledge getting up to, you know, level 55 or 50 even, sorry, that you end up with, you know, billions of artifact knowledge and, you know, like you need billions and trillions and stuff like that. And we're starting to get close to the sort of the mega damage, you know, where the numbers are getting so big, are they becoming meaningless? And certainly where would you go from here in the future? I think Patrick's completely right that you would have to have some form of reset in there if you were keeping it. And like I said previously, I don't think they said they were planning to keep it, but maybe they are. Maybe they'll, you know, maybe we'll get new artifacts, or maybe we, you know, they get drained by the
like
void
artifact and helms. Like they just you have another piece of equipment. Like your belt is some kind of artifact.
It's a utility belt.
Who don't for people who haven't been following what's happening in 7.3 for the artifacts, there the relic slots are going to have talents, basically. You're going to have a talent tree for your relic slots, and you're going to be able to go and choose how you customize that as well. So it starts, you have the regular traits for the artifacts, you have the concordance of Legionfall that you have to go through as well, and those things. It's becoming like, it's okay if you do all of this over the course of an entire expansion, and even then they're kind of nullifying this entire thing by giving you so much artifact power, you're just going to fill it up entirely and start looking at the, what's it called? The Crucible of Light, is it?
A Netherlight Crucible.
Yeah, the Netherlight Crucible. But yeah, it's a lot of stuff to carry over into another expansion.
Yeah, so then the question is just, well, all right, what do you... I mean, they clearly have an interest in a secondary progression tier in the game. They've shown that with, I think, what started with the garrisons and now this. So the idea that the next expansion would roll around and they don't do that in some way is weird. So if it's not these being carried through and evolved and iterated on, then what the hell is it? That's my big question.
They're going to, hopefully they design new systems or, you know, some variation of the artifact, but they're going to have, that's the thing with the new expansions. You're looking for something different and this familiar, but also enough variation that it's going to feel fresh. And I wouldn't mind seeing, I mean, I'm sure there are going to be some new systems. Mm-hmm. I think that, honestly, I think the artifact was very successful. I really like it. And I wouldn't mind having something like this or even this for, you know, a different form of this for another expansion. I think it can sustain two expansions in a row before it starts feeling old. Don't you guys think?
Yeah, I think so. I just don't know if they think so.
I would love to, I just don't know what you do. Like, if I keep, say, Ashbringer, does it get sapped of artifact power and they introduce a new thing? So I can't go back to the old content and farm it inefficiently or anything like that. Maybe it gets old god corruption on it, or it gets void, or Jaina Proudmoore, Ashara, you know, what we came up with before.
Yeah,
we're playing, you know, baby game designer here, but you could remove all of the progression, give it some of the abilities that you've acquired over the course of the expansion, and make another one. It's basically, it's like a character. It's a parallel progression thing. And when you go into a new expansion with your character, some of your spells might be reworked a little bit, but it's basically when you start that new expansion, you have the baseline, which is what your character had at the end of the previous expansion, right? So let's remove all the traits. Let's remove all of those things. You have an artifact that is a little bit more powerful, and you do another thing. Maybe it doesn't manifest itself as traits, but there's something else in there that is, or maybe you completely remove the progression on the artifact. You just have that weapon. That's what you have, and you do something else with it. I don't know, but it doesn't have to be the exact same model as it was for this expansion.
Yeah, well, obviously they'd change something even if they kept the core there. I'm very excited about that. Whatever that is, I'm excited. Raid Finder stuff I thought was interesting out of this conversation, so I pulled it out of there, is pretty interesting. Basically, the bottom line is there is no longer a desire on the team to make Raid Finder a tourist mode. They want to be done with that idea that if you're just like, well, I don't really feel like working on any of this, I just want to see the content, which I understand the reason that they did that, but they want to make that less so. So keeping all the mechanics and Raid Finder difficulty, but making them weak didn't feel great. He says that he also says there were a lot of mechanics that you could just ignore. Honestly, it made Raid Finder really boring for me, so I haven't done it a lot lately. The team's biggest balance concern is for people that are only doing Raid Finder difficulty. So instead, the team moved to have fewer mechanics, but making them meaningful and challenging. And I haven't gone to any length to see if that's true of the current Raid Finder content or if they're just talking about 7.3. But they want to make it closer to Mists of Pandaria than Warlords, as an example, is what they said. So
the thing is, with Raid Finder currently... I think if half the team is kind of paying attention, you're going to get through.
Yeah.
You really need, yeah, I would say half the team to be paying some kind of attention and you're fine.
Right.
It did feel, in Mists of Pandaria, I honestly don't even really remember the ones in Draenor. Mm. Although, yeah, the Throne of Thunder, I kind of remember. Yeah. I have fond memories from the ones in Mists of Pandaria as a good middle ground. Like, I remember I had to pay attention, but it was not so... I don't want it to become... So it still needs to be the casual thing, right? And maybe having two mechanics you need to pay attention to instead of five is the way of achieving that. I could get behind that.
I think so too.
Yeah,
but
I'll be interested to see how they do like Kill Jaden, who will be coming out in a couple of weeks, I guess, on as the final wing for Raid Finder. In that currently, like, you've got to soak, you've got to soak damage, and you once you soak it, you can't soak it again, like in Emerald Nightmare.
Right.
And having that on Raid Finder would be super tricky if it's like having everyone in the raid have to perform a role. And if they didn't perform said role, you can't do it. Like, that's really tough.
I don't think they'd go that far.
Well, that's the thing. But then if you take away that whole mechanic,
But they're not doing it for 7-2. They're doing it for the 7-3.
Exactly. That's why, exactly. Yeah. It'd just be interesting to see how they manage it. Because I think it's really tricky to make Raid Finder work in terms of you've got a whole list of people who don't care really about one another. They just want to get their loot and get gone, and having a coordinated team that's going to work towards an objective. I mean, obviously it's in the best interest of everyone for the raid to succeed, but equally there's going to be one guy who's just like, you know what, I'm just going to sit at the back and auto fire and go FK and just see if I can pick up my thing. Or maybe I just kind of run a bit slower behind the raid and, oh no guys, I'm locked out of the encounter on this side, I'll just wait for you at this door, good luck. So they have to make it super easy, assuming that a portion of the player base isn't playing.
It's, once again, everything's about balance for this company. Like, they, for Warcraft, it's, this is yet another example of that. And maybe they swung too far on the easy tourist mode side. Now they got to swing back a little bit. Got to be careful, not go too far. Like, I would like that experience to be a little bit more challenging. But I also, I
feel like if they make it more challenging, potentially it becomes artificially even more challenging because some people instantly die, and so then you're playing with less people, or they're not engaged enough that whilst if everyone was just doing some damage, you'd probably get through it, but because a quarter aren't, you can't. It'd be nice if there was a way to, I don't know, the more
I don't think
you
they'll ever tune it,
the more powerful you got or something like that, so you were encouraged to avoid stuff. Every time you avoided stuff, you got a small bonus to your damage or your healing or your health, or I don't know. I'd like it, like, the more you play the game, the better you get.
Sure.
I don't think they're gonna make it so every person in the encounter has to be performing their role or you're not going to be achieving it. That's never how Raid Finder was supposed to be. I think we're getting a little bit too attached to that idea of tourist mode. I think Raid Finder is always going to be easy mode, if you don't want to call it tourist mode. And that means that if two-thirds of the team or three-quarters of the team are paying attention, you're going to get through it. You're always going to have some people who are not going to be, who can get through it without doing anything.
Yeah, but don't forget the game already supports a technology for scaling that is built right in now. So if somebody leaves your team, let's say you're out running with 22 people and two of you leave, now you're down to 20, the content scales. So maybe it's possible to do that just with deaths. So if it does increase in difficulty and more deaths are a result, let's say 5-6 people in your team die, maybe then Raid Finder level stuff can scale as if now it's only, it's just down to whoever's left.
Yeah, it's tricky though because sometimes then you've got you could have a player though that is literally, it's better off if they die than they play. And how does that make the team dynamic and that player's,
it's not going to work. Just for the simple, take it to the extreme. Let's say you only have five people left. If the encounter scales to the number of people that are still alive, then you're always going to have the five people that actually can do their job left. And so they're going to pass the encounter every time, right?
Yeah.
Because
good point.
If it's tuned to them.
Yeah.
So I don't think that could work.
That's a good Not point, quite. But maybe we make all the slackers and the buttholes watch it from the floor, you know, like make them realize that they are bad and they should be helping those.
They're not going to care. As long as they get their role on the item, they're not going to care. And that might even encourage people to not play because they're like, well, fine, the people who are left are going to pass it anyway. So yeah.
In theory, you get down to one shadow priest or something. Exactly. Everyone else is dead. And he takes everything out.
That's how a lot of our Fortman raids used to go. They, you know, just a paladin left at the end. And you're like, come on, you can do it. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and then, yeah, we all got a share in that brilliance.
Yeah.
So, yeah. There could be some cool things.
Yeah, who knows? We'll see what they do. They also say they're still working on Worgen and Goblin models. So all the Worgens and Goblins out there, you know you exist. You're going to get an update soon. They just said they've spent so much time with that particular part of the team on new casting animations and all that stuff, which do look pretty great, by the way.
They're getting, aren't they?
Yeah, they look great. So it makes me want to just pull the mage out, and that's all I want to do for 7.3. But anyway, they are going to happen. So Worgen and Goblin fans, I know you're out there. Don't worry. All right, let's round up the news and the rest of Blizzard real quick. Garrosh Hellscream is joining the Nexus in Heroes of the Storm. He is already on the PTR and will be out for reals on Tuesday. I've played with him. He's great. A lot of people were ticked that it was Garrosh because people don't like him as a person or as an orc person.
He's an amazing character.
I agree. I think he's...
He's not a very likable, I was going to say human being, but orc being.
Yeah. He's you know, Azeroth.
He doesn't exemplify the best in orc kind.
He's Azeroth Hitler is what we said on Core. And I agree with that. He's a real butthole, and he's done some terrible things, but his kit is great. He's a sustainable single tank.
I wish they hadn't given him Gorehowl, and instead, like, it's like, I don't know if you've ever seen those things that dog owners sometimes have, where it's like a plastic thing, they can pick a ball up, and they can chuck it really far.
Oh, yeah.
That's basically what Gorehowl is for him, is he's like, I can throw an enemy, or I can throw him behind me, or I can throw one of my guys. You know, I'm just like, where do you want to go? Whoa, there you go.
Yeah.
It's me, Garrosh. How you do? Whoa, there you go. You know, he's just...
he's a New Yorker.
He's just...
Okay.
Yeah, he's New York. You know, hey, I'm walking here. hey, I'm chucking here. And he's just throwing people around all the time.
That thing's a real skill shot, by the way. I have the worst time picking up... I pick up minions and throw them. It's actually a really hard thing to hit. So anyway, if you're interested in more about him, we go into major depth on... The Core Show at frogmass.com/core, and you guys can listen
Scott,
to that.
I mean, we've moved on from WoW without covering the biggest news of the week.
Oh, what I miss? What?
The Twilight and Luminous Starseeker is now on sale for $30.
Is this the new
mount? So you can
mount?
Buy yourself a mount and a pet and Dear Lord.
I think I already have that pet, though.
So expensive.
Changes colors. No, it changes colors, Scott.
Changes
it's
colors.
It's like a living rainbow. It's amazing.
For 30 bucks?
$30 for both. So you get the mount and the pet for $30, or you can get it for less.
I think it's 20 and 10, right?
Let's see. Yeah, here it is. Hue shifting pet and mount. Oh, that's right. I did miss this. So this thing, it looks like the Nether Kitty thing, but it shifts colors as you.
It's like the Suramar cat sort of thing, but with some feathers on it. And I still don't get how people got annoyed at Blizzard for the Necromancer. And I mean, I'm sure they do get annoyed about this, but
that's expensive, man. That's $5 off what you'd pay for them separately, assuming that they are like the other pets and mounts. So
wait, yeah,
that's
they
are,
your, they
are they 25 and 15.
So, well, it'd be 25 and 10 normally. So
in the UK, if you were to buy them separately, they'd be 28 quid, but together they're 27, so they are a pound.
Wow.
Cheap.
Wow.
So again, me, obviously, I always like a deal, so I'm not spending £27. I'm saving one.
Yeah.
So
don't know. I don't know what the right price is, but I don't think it's 30. That seems real.
It's never felt good to me to the point where I don't buy them.
Yeah.
And I think if they were a third of the price, I probably would have bought them all. So I feel like they would have made more money. So I mean, and you can see it with microtransactions. You know, microtransactions, they work.
Yeah.
You know, those are the top grossing games on iOS because it's a buck. I don't think about it, you know, my 20th time that, oh my God, that's $20 I put into this. You know, it's that sort of thing where it's always just far too expensive.
Yeah.
So go figure.
Yeah, I don't understand that pricing. I think it looks really neat, though. You know what happens to me, though, when I'm in the game is when I see somebody with one of these, I get annoyed because I think, you just paid for that. You didn't go do anything for it. Like, I realize that that's kind of an a-hole thing to think or say, but that's how I feel when I see it.
I refer you to my earlier statement once again.
But I think with, because of the token, you could have bought that with gold. So you could have worked really hard in the auction house, converted it into a BattleNet token, and then used two BattleNet tokens to buy the mountain pet. Or maybe there's something really cool in game that you can buy with gold that you bought with real money anyway. So, you know, because now money and gold are so interwoven, it's hard to judge anyone's score.
Yeah.
Last thing on WoW, Blizzard Entertainment's account on Twitter just tweeted the key art for WoW for BlizzCon.
Oh, look at that.
Oh.
And it is Jaina Proudmoore. Wow. I haven't looked at the 7.3 spoiler thing, so don't spoil anything. But
beautiful.
She is super radiant and light version of Jaina. She's not like Gothlord Jaina.
Yeah.
So
still got the gray. She's still got the gray. She's got the gray streak still. Which, you know, is it that?
The blonde streak. She's not. She's more silver platinum than she is blonde.
Yeah.
And we're gonna be, you know, over a year into the life of Legion, I'm starting to wonder if we're not going to get the announcement for the next expansion at BlizzCon.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. Okay, nice. Yeah, that key art looks good. Well, they do key art for every game, though, right?
It's going to be World of Jaina.
World of...
So the other key art I've seen from Blizzard Entertainment was the Diablo one, which was of a female necromancer.
Yeah.
So that's really cool.
Yeah, that one looked really good,
so,
too.
So far, we've had two. We've had... the Necromancer, Diablo, and Jaina now for Warcraft.
It's going to be all ladies. Okay, let's say it's all ladies this year. Who do we get for...
Tracer,
or maybe someone else.
Year they used Ana. Sylvanas. Yeah. In fairness, last year had Chromie, Nova, Ana, and Sylvanas as the ladies, and then we have half
and Diablo actually,
and Diablo. No, but it's the male Diablo.
Oh, is it? You can tell by the face.
I can tell by the face.
Dude, Diablo.
But even then, I don't know if he's got a wanger and if that means he's a man or not. Like, does he need one? I don't think you do. So who knows how Diablo chooses to identify? I imagine it's as the Lord of Destruction.
Yeah,
and he has no, or they have no gender.
Yeah, or wanger, as you put it. He's just got
wanger.
He's got a gender.
Gender or wanger.
He's got an extra spike down there. That's it.
Yeah.
Probably.
More spikes.
It's all good.
Sure. Anyway, Garrosh coming. He's great. Looking forward to it. Let's talk about Overwatch for a second. Patrick, since you've been playing the most, how is Doomfist affecting things? How's he fit? Is it going all right?
So he's only been out in ranked for a couple of days. Maybe it was yesterday. So we don't really know how he affects things yet in the meta. He is certainly a popular character, I can tell you that. And he's been in basically every game I've played of Quick Play since he's been released, which is not too surprising, but people like him very much. He's kind of a wrecking ball. He just jumps into into the team and kills a couple of people and then tries to jump out. But I think he's frustrating to some because his right click, his rocket punch, is an instant kill if he manages it correctly.
Yeah.
He's still getting countered pretty hard by a bunch of people, but I'm wondering if they're not going to need to maybe expand the charge time on his right click a little bit. But we'll have to see how it goes in rank, because in Quick Play, you know that you can't really judge how the character is played because it's not balanced games. But he's very popular, pretty cool character. I've played him a bunch in PTR, not so much on live. I'm letting other people enjoy him. But yeah, Overwatch is doing pretty well, contributed a lot to the Activision Blizzard results.
Yeah.
We have the Summer Games starting this Tuesday, which I'm sure we can get into more next week or the week after that. There's going to be ranked Lucio Bowl, which is weird.
It's what everyone's been asking for, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
It's great to hear.
Well, that, I mean, they did tweak some into that. They did tweak some things with that. I'm interested.
No longer boop other Lucios. Yeah. Only
exactly.
The ball.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, man, this is, you know, they're taking it seriously as an esport now. I'm calling it now. Next esport, well, Lucio League. And it's gonna Blizzard's gonna hire a whole new team of people.
Great.
They got the Overwatch League, and then they got Lucio League.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is, you're gonna get competitive points for it. So you are going to be getting some points to buy your, you know, golden guns and well, guns really.
Yeah.
By playing Lucio
gun.
And then the other interesting thing is, last year a lot of people complained that you couldn't buy the Summer Games skins and stuff without getting them in loot boxes. That's not true this time. And also, last year's will be available for a discounted price compared to what they were before.
So yeah, the event items have been purchasable for a few events, maybe two or three, but they were triple the price of the regular items.
Yeah.
And that's still going to be the case for the new item events, but the ones from last year are going to be the regular price. So legendary skin is going to be 1,000 credits, which is way more affordable than the 3,000 for the current event items. I think it's a good compromise because we've, you know, talked about this a bunch, and people were frustrated that they couldn't get the items they wanted for the current event, and they're still going to be able to get all of them for this time, but they know that at some point in the future, well, the next year, if that template is being followed for the future as well,
sure.
Next year they're going to be able to get it anyway. And the other thing is about items, which is already in place but is going to be more prominent when the event starts, is that you get basically no duplicates in your loot boxes. I'm sure at some point, you know, they have to provide you with duplicates, but I've opened a lot of boxes, and since the latest patch, the Doomfist patch, I have not gotten a single duplicate, and I used to get 2 to 4 in every loot box.
Just all take a moment to thank the Chinese here? because all it took was for them to say, you got to make the odds apparent to everyone, otherwise that's a no-go for us. And well, the thing is Blizzard's putting in more things now to these random kind of drops to ensure that you get a better experience. You know, we're not getting as many dupes, we're not getting, you know, we're more likely to get a legendary in our first boxes and stuff like that. I mean, that's a good thing.
I'm happy to thank the Chinese if we need to. I really don't think that has anything to do with it. I think it was them realizing over the entire company.
Coincidentally. Exactly.
But it's not
a similar sort of
time
to when people would turn around saying,
it's not the same thing, sir. In China, they needed to divulge the percentages, which we already knew anyway, because people open, you know, hundreds of boxes. So we knew the percentages already. They just confirmed those were the actual ones. But the actual problem was that people were getting frustrated with their loot boxes, as you know.
Yep.
And so they felt it wasn't an enjoyable experience, which I was actually
working for Blizzard recently, whereas it seems like you're still the company man. So
who knows? Towing that line. I had a thought yesterday. I was playing a little bit of, I do this once in a while. I played
did it hurt?
No, it didn't hurt. I played a little bit of the what's it called? Now my brain just went blank. The Diablo like game, free to play. People like it. It's been around since 2013. You got a big expansion hitting
Torchlight.
Path of Exile. Path of Exile.
There you go.
So I'm playing a little Path of Exile, which is very Diablo 2-ish, but also they keep adding content to it. It's a free to play game with a monetary system based on stuff that's like just, you know, cosmetics and stuff. And it occurred to me while I was playing it, why isn't that Diablo's business model? It would totally work. Like, every other game Blizzard's doing right now is supported by a business model that is not that far off than what say, you know, that Exiles game is, if they wanted to continue that thing into the foreverness, they could, and they could have new content come out. They had new story content. Like they do. I'm not trying to say, hey, Blizzard, some other developer's doing your job better. I'm just saying this idea that Diablo can't find the perfect model for making money in the future, and they just keep experimenting with little things. I don't know why that's the case. Why can't they just do that?
Well, I mean, if you're going to be selling the Necromancer for, what is it again, 15 bucks?
15, yeah.
I think a lot of people, overall, I think it's better if you manage to convince people to pay that amount for your for a piece of content than if you rely on a lot of whales that are going to be spending money on cosmetic items, which are going to be much cheaper, and they're going to need to buy, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them to make up the same amount.
Why not though? Like they do that with every other game. Heroes of the Storm does that. Hearthstone does that. It requires.
Oh, they're just doing it with the Necromancer. That's their. You mean doing that as well with cosmetic?
I guess what I'm saying is the Necromancer, I think, was totally worth 15. My problem with Diablo 3 at the moment is, despite that, I'm still kind of exactly in the same place as I was before. It's starting to feel small, that world. It's starting to feel like I can teleport from Act 1 to Act 2 with impunity, like it's no big deal. Maybe I'm looking for more story. Maybe that's it. Maybe I'm looking for more quality, progressive story in my Diablo experience.
You're not looking for what Path of Exile is doing.
Well, Path of Exile is
doing
that.
I mean, the business model-wise.
Right. Well, but the Path of Exile is doing that very thing. They're putting out story content, actual expansions with like new zones, new stuff, new story. They continue on continuing stories, but also add new.
Yeah, it's weird why we haven't had more Diablos, isn't it, really? Because the way back when there was that leaked product slate that had like Diablo up to like 3 expansions, and we had
that was like
one expansion
8 years ago.
Yeah,
well, but still, like I said, at some point, someone turned around and said, "You know what? No." You know, so like, what happened? Because I'd happily pay for a story expansion. You know, they've gone down the route of like, well, let's make a class, let's make more classes for the current game.
Well, so there was a point where they had to make a decision: are we going to be making another expansion, or are we going to move on to Diablo 4, or you know, maybe something else? I'm guessing Diablo 4. They just made the decision to move on to Diablo 4. And as they were doing that, they're thinking maybe we can still milk a little bit more money and fun out of Diablo 3. And they did that as well. It was just what you guys are asking for is basically an expansion.
If you,
right?
Yes, or if you are correct that Diablo 4 is not only greenlit but is in production, then yeah, what you say makes perfect sense. If it's not, then I don't know why this game isn't a service like everything else.
I would counterpoint that with the game sold well enough and could warrant the investment of something like World of Warcraft's Team 2, where they're making the next game whilst also producing content for the current game. And you've got these two things inside, and the subscription price I pay means that I don't pay for these big content drops that come throughout the year, all these patches. So I think that Diablo could have said, you know, okay, let's grow the team out. Okay, I'm in charge of this team and we're going to make Diablo 4, and you're in charge of this team and you're going to make the next 3 expansions to keep that player base happy and engaged and seeing more stuff and keep the revenue coming in so we can keep making this Diablo 4 over here. I think personally, I would have liked and appreciated that. I'm sure Blizzard obviously has made some cost analysis, or they've thought that the soul of the game would be lost if different people were working on it, or I don't know. You know, maybe they just didn't have the space to have another team or whatever. But I think it would have been really cool if they'd made it so that it was more Diablo stuff.
A lot of stuff has changed since 2012 business model wise. I understand that. Like the entire industry has sort of shifted in a lot of meaningful, significant ways. And clearly Blizzard, even in the beginning of that game, had ideas for monetization, and they were pinning a lot of that on the Real Money Auction House. That didn't work out. But to me, that was an effort to say, well, this will give us long-term revenue for this game, which is normally just a game and an expansion, and you buy it and you're done. So they clearly had that stuff in mind, and maybe it's just too much work to retrofit it now. If Patrick's right that 4 is in production, then great.
Well, I'm guessing.
Right. But no, I know you're guessing.
I'm not sure what you guys are asking for, because we're getting more, you know, classes, or at least one, and we're getting zones and stuff like that. What you guys are asking for is another expansion like Act,
yeah,
with a story that you would play for, you know, a 3 days and a half, and then go back to the max level.
No, I played, Malthiel. What's the expansion called?
Reaper Souls.
I played Reaper Souls a long time and enjoyed it.
Played max level.
Give me another one.
You didn't play.
Exactly. Give me another one of those.
Yeah, another one of those.
New
mechanics.
What Reaper of Soul was mainly a rethinking of the mechanics and one extra class, right?
And story, and a bunch of new zones.
Yeah, but the story overall, you play it, when you say I played it for a long time, going through Act 5 was, what, 7 hours of gameplay?
Yeah, but I enjoyed the hell out of that, and I want to do that again, not just go do a new class in a new area.
And like, I'd pay for it, though. But well, I'm saying give that to me for free.
Yeah.
I'm saying,
but what if they can
make
you pay for the same amount with just a couple of classes?
Well,
maybe.
Yeah, except that, yeah. No, I mean, look, like I said, I think the 15 was worth it, and I really enjoy him, but I am hitting that point where I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right, I'm just rifting and I'm just doing, you know, I'm doing the same thing I've always done. Whereas at least with some sort of expansion, I would get the continuing story of what's going on here. And we've recovered the remains of
Diablo's foul taint. I smelt it. It's like, oh.
I'd be happy to smell his foul taint.
Yeah.
And
well, aren't we all, really? Again, if it means $30 and I get to play some more game, sweet.
Yeah.
Give me some story. Give me some stuff.
I would do.
But I don't know. Again, the Necromancer is cool. There's a new season out. There's stuff to do. There's the challenge rifts.
To be clear, I would love to have it too. I'm just saying, given the state of the game and the cost of this whole thing, I think it makes more sense financially for Blizzard to go this route than creating another expansion. Keeping in mind that as every time you make another expansion, you kind of restrict your player base a little bit, and you have to add on to the existing player base from before and all that.
And you might say Diablo's Advocate. You might say that. Instead of doubles.
I like that.
See what I've done there?
Just playing Diablo's Advocate here. I like that as well.
Ooh, that would be a great theme for an expansion.
Exactly. Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
Diablo's Advocate. Just a big fan. Like, I don't agree necessarily what Diablo does.
Sir Malfell, I will ask you to refrain from addressing my client Diablo directly. Yeah. You know, that kind of thing.
Judge will say, overruled. I'm going to allow it.
I'm just going to put forward this perspective. I'm not saying it's my perspective. I'm just saying that, you know, maybe we should all die and, you know, let demons go everywhere, maybe. I'm just saying, you know, it's just Diablo's thing.
Listen, I think there would be an excellent... you're talking about the game still, right?
Yes.
Surely.
Sure. Why not?
But, you know, it's true that on the storyline, there's this fantastic thing towards the end of Reaper of Souls where... both angels and demons realize that, holy crap, that hero, what's the
Nephilim.
Those Nephilim are freaking strong. Like they kind of scare both of us. So it would be awesome if the Nephilim became kind of the bad guy and started somehow having to fend for your life against, I don't know, everyone
angels
in Sanctuary or something.
Wouldn't that be cool? Like, yeah, exactly. If they teamed up.
Yeah, then you'd have to play. You'd have to play Angel's Advocate or something instead. all right. Well done there. Oh, look at this. wrong one. Hold on. This one. That's what I meant. Jeez.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why? It's the town crier.
All right, let's talk about an email. We got an email sent to us, theinstance@gmail.com, came from Nigel T. That sounds British as hell to me, but we'll see. Also, there's another line in here that's also very British sounding, but here it is. Hi, Instance crew. I could not be more sad about the news that Russell Brower has been made redundant at Blizzard. I think that redundant word gives him away as well. His music and direction have been the foundation of these games for me for years and years. Really bummed out about it, Nigel T. So this happened since we last met. I actually got a text from Russell a couple of days before it was public, just saying, hey, you know, something big is going to happen. Basically, and he says it in a statement on Facebook, they said that the position that he had kind of founded, that then created all of these sort of sub-music teams and these sort of collaborative music crossover stuff between different game projects, was no longer a position that needed to be filled at Blizzard. It didn't, you know, in other words, became redundant.
Small independent developer, Scott. They've got to keep an eye on their bottom line, really, isn't it?
I guess so.
Hang on. Can we afford to have an award-winning musician who's contributed, you know, years and years of his life and creative talent to our product?
Right.
I don't know.
I think it's horrendous that they did not see to it that he, you know, a 12-year veteran of the company, responsible for so much of the tone and feel of what I love about Blizzard.
I mean, full disclosure, we're biased as anything.
Yeah, we love Russell.
We've had the pleasure of getting to know Russell over the years, and he's always been a fan and supporter of the show. And, you know, the thing is like, ultimately, it's not the end of the world in that, you know, he's not dead. And more importantly, he's not doing a Metzen and just saying, like, yeah, I'm retired. You know, Russell's, you know, a very successful man. He's done a lot of cool things. I'm sure if he wanted to, he could kind of dial back. But he's got a solo album in the works that was in the works before this. It's not like he's like, you know, I'm going to make better music and it's going to be all mine and it's going to be this. You know, he was already doing stuff. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
It sucks because I don't know. Obviously, Blizzard works so far ahead with different teams and stuff. I don't know at what point are we going to kind of have that transition from Russell to someone else in terms of that audio direction on WoW.
Yeah.
And I think he's saying as well,
it's not like he was making older music
himself. No, himself, but he was, yeah, exactly. So. But he was, you know, working with that team and helping shape the tone and, guys, what of are we course, kind of yeah. going for here? But I think he said in his statement that he's still able to work as a contractor for Blizzard. So we may still hear his music in the game.
The weirdest thing in this is the announcement that he made himself felt a little bit like, you know, sour, a tiny bit. And he said, I've been basically, my position has been made redundant. So what you going to do? Which it felt a little bit strange in the way he announced it. Mm. But yeah, he's still going to be working. Well, he still has the possibility to work with the company, and he's not, thankfully, he's not going anywhere in the world. He's still going to be working.
Yeah.
And, I would love to know exactly what happened there.
Yeah, I'm sure there's you know, more than any.
It feels like there's a story. There's sometimes, you know, there are things where I think, you know, many times it's just, well, things don't work out, or they want to retire, or they've just been there for too long. They want something new. Here it feels like there might be a story. Maybe we'll have to ask Russell if we ever see him again.
Yeah, but, I mean, like the Metzen thing was purely Chris wanting to move on. In this case, it's a little bit different.
But this may be in part Russell wanting to move on as well. Like I said, he was already working on his solo stuff. He's been there a long time. Creatively, you know, he went from working on all the games. He was Blizzard musical director to being Warcraft musical director. So, you know, I can see personally, I think I would, you know, going through that change, be kind of longing for different, you know, more challenges. But then again, you know, WoW is a constantly evolving game with, you know, new staff all the time and all the rest. But I can see the silver lining in it. I think, like I said, it's sad from our perspective, I think, to have someone, you know, at least, I don't know, it would be nice to hear that it was like a sort of I was given the option and I opted to say, yeah, I'll take the cash payout and be made redundant. I don't know how it works in America, but in the UK, when you get made redundant, you get paid. And if you've been there 12 years, you get paid a fair amount. Mm. You know, it's not bad. And it's tax-free, it's all good, you know, but equally, when it's actually redundant, that means that position is gone. They're not going to hire in someone else to do that job. That job no longer exists.
Yeah.
And so if that's the same definition in America, it means we don't have anyone with the sole focus, at least, of musical direction on World of Warcraft.
That is the is correct. Yeah. As far as I can tell, that's what happened is, or that's the, yeah, the end result is they're not filling this with anyone. It was a decision from way high up that it's just no longer needed. And part of that is a testament to what he established. He established a really great system across the teams that started with World of Warcraft and then bled out. And he's got, like, you know, his not just talent for music, but talent for working with other really talented composers and musicians are in every game. They're all evident, and they're killing it. Even something as simple as, well, let's just, you know, Heroes of the Storm, like this weird place where we just kind of put our IPs together. Even there, great care is taken to make incredible themes and stuff that harkens back to older games, yet feels new again. Their theme based on the Diablo universe is one of my favorite pieces of music to ever come out of Blizzard, like straight up, period. I think that was Neil Akery, I'm not sure. But his leadership there is responsible for that stuff. So on the one hand, he established this really great standard across the teams, across the departments. But maybe in the end, that made it so that the head of that just didn't need to be there. I maybe.
And that's the thing. I mean, Blizzard is the same company, though, that never tries to attribute too much to one person.
Yeah.
You know, everything's a team effort. Everything is a process that's through iteration and refinement. You know, that's the team did that. And I'm sure Russell would be the first to say that as well, that, you know, what was made and achieved was a team that did that. Yeah. But it is a little bit, you know, sour from a, like I said, from our perspective, from the external looking in, that, yeah, we won't have his input into that team as much going forward.
Yeah. So. Here's the thing, though. So he's a frequent guest on the show. He's come on for numerous interviews. It's a tradition I'd actually like to keep at least one more time. So my goal is to try to get a postmortem with him, have him come in, talk a bit about the separation, what his new goals are, talk about his new work. That
could
kind of
be
thing.
Our new niche. You know, you did the Metzen interview. We do this with Russell. Maybe, yeah, just anyone that leaves Blizzard.
Yeah.
First stop. Yeah. Come on the instance.
Yeah, hey, Josh Mascara. Let's get Mascara in here. It's been a while. I know, yeah, you're over there at the other thing now, but come on,
Bonfire,
buddy.
Bonfire, exactly. We get Pardo on there.
Yeah, but, you know. Pardo. If Pardo's on, I want to ask him about, you know, Titan.
Yeah.
That's what I want to know about.
I'm sure he'd love talking about it.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm sure,
yeah,
he would be delighted, and, yeah, no lawyer would be involved.
No,
in
so, $115, yeah, million, yeah, dollars lost. I'm sure it's no problem to talk about it openly.
I'm
without
sure
any...
it's far more than that as well.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's just the number we get. So yeah.
Here's what I know. Blizzard, Overwatch has already paid for it, and that's good. No matter what that number was. Here's what I think, though. I'll bet there is a book you
Isn't
could
that
write.
Crazy? Literally, no matter what that number was,
yeah,
Overwatch is paid for it.
Yeah, it's like, totally paid
that
for it.
That game's darn good.
Yeah, it's like the zombie corpse had the money in his wallet. It's weird. Yeah. But I bet there's a book that could be written about Titan. I would love to know. I'd fly on the wall, and that deal would be really fascinating. We're never going to hear it, though. We're never going to
know. I might write it one day, Scott. Yeah. I might write it.
It might be you.
Because the thing is I could write it, and the only way you're going to know if it's wrong is if they come out and tell the truth. Otherwise, you know, you can't NDA or cease and desist, mm-hmm, on a fictional piece.
Yeah.
But maybe my fictional piece could be correct, or maybe it coaxes out the truth. They say, hang on, we didn't spend $3 billion making it. It was $1.5 billion. I'm like, $1.5 billion. Yeah, that's how I'll do it. I'll get them.
Yeah.
Don't worry. I got
all
it.
Right. I'm looking forward to it. You and your book tour, all that stuff's going to be great. Can't
yeah, wait. Exactly.
That's your email for the week. theinstance@gmail.com is where that was sent. Thank you, Nigel T, wherever you may reside. And that is going to do it for the show. Before we leave, though, let's give you guys a chance to talk about anything you may have going on this week. Patrick, what's up? It's a Pixels week, yeah? Isn't it?
No, next week is Pixels week, but this week we had Overwatchers. So if you want to hear a little bit more about Overwatch and the changes coming to Junkrat and Roadhog on PTR and a bunch of stuff, and we had, I had AlphaCast on the show this week, and we discussed all of this and the involvement of the French World Cup team in the Shanghai stage, which was pretty amazing. We talked about all of this. Just go find Overwatchers in your favorite podcasting app and download that latest episode. I think it was a lot of fun. And you can also follow me on Twitter and Facebook as Not Patrick.
Nice. That's
very easy. It's Patrick, but with a not in front
of
it.
Yeah, it's the initials NP, which also stands for no problem, or
that is
narrow penis. No, 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 I'm just kidding.
Yes.
It's not really.
Which is true.
It does stand for that as well. Interesting.
Narrow penis. Don't forget. Patrick is not narrow penis, though. I'll just say that. Not
yeah, well, you don't know. I mean,
normal penis.
Normal penis.
Necessary penis.
necrotic you know. Penis. He's got a necrotic
yeah,
one.
That could be good. Yeah.
Well, I do love my necromancer, so
yeah, why not? Bring it back to life is all I'm saying. Terpster, anything with you over there going on?
Average penis, I'd say.
AB.
Bordering on average. I should be at Gamescom. So that's in a couple of weeks. Mm. So do me a solid. Check out the live streams and videos that come out of there. That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
I think if I'm there and if you do go into like a Twitch chat or a YouTube comment or anything where you can leave something, just saying a nice thing about me or maybe like, oh, I'm glad Terpster was here because otherwise I wouldn't have bothered watching this at all. Or any lies, basically. Any way you can lie positively about me will be great. But we'll see.
Sure. Well, we could say that you have an over average penis.
Oh, yeah. Well, we know
I would love to see that in the comments below and then having Blizzard come up to me and say, we're getting a lot of comments about you've got like an overly average penis. So is it over average or overly average?
And
they're saying
like,
it's ample. It's an ample penis.
Ample
and they're like,
penis.
Okay, that's good. Because Blizzard, you know, we always pride ourselves on being the best and representing the best. So you need to have a good penis. Otherwise,
well,
we can't work with you.
We are committed to creating the most epic entertainment there is.
Exactly. Like, and sure. That is all the way down to my wanger. So
here's why I know it's adequate, because you got a new baby coming and we're really excited for you. And
it's not even that. It just shows that, you know, it gets the job done. So regardless of what's going on,
I don't think the size has anything to do with that.
Exactly. And the thing is actually I've got 100% record for impregnating a woman. I've had sex twice.
Yeah.
And both times have resulted in, and what's weird is it's like a year, it's like 2 years after having had the sex.
Yeah.
The baby then comes along.
Yeah.
And looks different to me, but you know, I still that's why I know it's a super, super good penis.
Super good penis. So, yeah.
Yeah. Super good penis.
Coming to Steam early access this fall.
By the way, the name of my the Cure.
Phil Collins cover band.
Oh,
yeah,
Phil Collins. Nice. All right. Well said, everybody. That's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter at Instant Show, Scott Johnson, _T, not Patrick. And of course, theinstance.net is our website. If you want to find more shows like this, there are plenty over at frogpants.com. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Patrick, and for Terpster over there. New father coming up. Well, second time father coming
second
up.
Second time daddy.
Yeah.
That's what they call
two
me.
Times. 9/11. Never forget. That's the date, right?
Never forget it. Well, hopefully. Yeah. Again, that's the worry. I'm going out to Gamescom in a couple of weeks. I'm pretty sure it's going to happen there, and it's going to be, you know, mid-video. Just be like, I'm going to be, what now? Okay. You know I love Blizzard, though. Okay, I love you too. Bye-bye.
That
so
would
anyway,
be a
as I was
bummer.
Saying, we're really excited to talk to this guy. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be a bummer. I hope that doesn't happen. Yeah. Anyway, thank you all for being here. We'll see you next time for another episode of The Instance.